This is the Trails Church podcast. At the Trails Church, our mission is to glorify God by making disciples through the gospel in community and on mission. If you'd like more information about our church, visit our website, thetrails.org. Now, here's today's podcast.
Would you open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 11, verse 33 through verse 36? Romans 11, verse 33 through verse 36. Here is an incredible passage. It's a doxology. If I were in a traditional Baptist church, I'd have to explain what a doxology is, but I don't have to do that here, right? Right? Turn the person to your left and your right and say, I know what a doxology is to you. I'm a little bit different than my son, and he grew up listening to me preach, and then he decided to preach differently. So we're going to have a little bit of communication back and forth today. And this is a beautiful doxology. It's placed strategically in a place that God, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is leading the Apostle Paul to sort of build a crescendo, to end a thought where he has been spending quite some time in the first 11 chapters of Romans talking about the gospel and the power that it has to transform a sinner's life and to produce in them the righteousness required by grace through faith alone in Jesus. And now he gets to the very last part of this chapter, and he writes this incredible doxology that defines and sort of transitions now into what he's going to do in Romans chapter 12, into a whole new aspect of the Christian life in the transformational work of that gospel. And so this doxology is a transition that helps us celebrate what God has done and what God is going to do in the lives of those who, by grace through faith, place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Lord. So I would like to invite you to stand with me, and as we read this passage, 33 through 36, we're going to focus our study only on verse 36. I was given 15 minutes, so therefore we're going to shorten the message a little bit today. No, I'm just kidding. The inspired, infallible, and inerrant word of the Lord reads today, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." And everybody said, thank you, God, for the opportunity that we have to stand in honor of your word today. And I pray that because your word would not ever return void as it is read and studied and proclaimed, that your word would not return void in our lives today. God, use your word powerfully and mightily to save those in this place that need to be saved and to transform those of us who have been saved by the power of the gospel to live lives that are truly thankful for all that you have done and to give you the honor and the glory that you rightfully deserve for all that you have done and all that you are doing and all that you will do. For yours is the glory, yours is the honor, and yours is the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. My father has passed away just a few years ago, and one of the strange things about my father, anybody have a father who had some strange aspects about him other than me? You can raise your hand. I know you're on the second row, but it's okay. I know your dad. And sorry, Josh. He loved turtles. And I have brought a turtle today. When he passed away, I inherited all of his turtles, and I've been giving them off to some of our grandchildren, which sort of helps us understand him. But he had a turtle, and this is one of them, and I brought the largest one, and I know it's hard to see where you are, but I brought the largest one because he used to tell a story to us as children that I always have remembered. It's a story about seeing a turtle on a fence post. And he used to tell us, if you ever see a turtle on a fence post, you know how it got there. It did not get there by itself. Someone had to place the turtle on the fence post for the turtle to be on that fence post. Now, don't try to rationalize it, okay? Because there's no rationalization in trying to figure out why a turtle would be on the fence post, except for the fact that the reason why it's there is because somebody strategically placed it on that fence post. It did not get there by itself. It is a crawly creature that doesn't have the capability to place itself on a fence post. Now, what that has for us in our study today is simply this: where you are, what you have, and what you will become is not in and of yourself dependent upon you. You need someone outside of yourself to do for you what you cannot do, and that person is God Himself. For one day, God spoke to your heart. You, by grace through faith, put your trust in Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, and He pulled you out of the muck and the mire of sin and placed you in the righteousness of Christ, and there you remain, not in and of yourself, but solely because of God and God alone. So all that you are and all that you have and all that you hope to be or become is solely and simply because of Him. I know we have some responsibility and accountability to respond to the Lord, but in our own effort, in our own work, we cannot achieve nor accomplish anything independently and apart from Him. So in this Thanksgiving holiday season, as we count our many blessings and see what the Lord has done, it's important for us to understand that what we possess through the power of the gospel, through the work of Christ and His redeeming work on that cross, where He has picked us up and placed us where we are, is solely and simply because of Him, and it's to Him and Him alone that deserves all the honor, all the glory, and all of the praise. You are who you are. You sit where you sit today because of God the Father, God the Son, and God His Holy Spirit. You are not independently and apart from Him. And in this passage, I want us to take a look at the one word as we begin this study, the word all things. It's not by accident that the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, talks about for, from Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. He ends the sentence with all things, but that's where we're going to begin, because that's the title of our study today, all things. He has been writing so far to the Romans and to us today in this passage, in Romans 1 through 11, about the power of the gospel and what it brings to us by grace through faith. And now he's transitioning over into the transformational work of the gospel in Romans 12, 1 and forward. And so here we see that he is helping us remind us that it's all things. He's sort of stretching the tent, so to speak. He's opening his arms up. He's broadening our scope, our horizon in this crescendo, and saying not only are we saved by grace through faith, our salvation, but everything inclusive is from God and God alone. It's all from Him. It is all through Him. It is all to Him, and for that reason, to Him alone becomes the one that we glorify and that one we acknowledge. In humility, we bow before Him in recognition of who He is and what He has done, and we give Him that which is rightfully His, the glory for what He has done. And so in this passage, in this one verse, verse 36, I want us to see basically two things. I want us to see, first of all, the reason for all things, and secondly, I want us to see the response of all things. So take a look at your Bible, if you would, and let's look at the first aspect about the reason for all things. Notice verse 36. It starts out with the word for. That word for is a conjunction that helps us understand that he is linking what he has said to what he is about to say. But the word for also, in its definition, simply means the cause of, the reason for, the result of. And so what he's saying, that the reason for and the result of all things is God. God is the cause. God is the reason for all things. And then he defines what he means by that by saying, for, from Him. All things are from Him. That word from is a preposition of source. It means that God is the source of all things. He is reminding his readers that God is not only the source of salvation, but he is the source of everything. Our salvation comes from him, and post-salvation, everything after that comes from him. Nothing is from ourselves. We are not independently and apart from the Lord. Everything we had comes from him. It is from him. Him is a personal pronoun which means and references God. All things are from God and God alone. All things are from him. So everything that you are and all that you have and all that you hope to be is from him. I'm going to do a little thing here. I'm going to step down, so you're going to follow me with a... I'm not sure. Matt doesn't do this much, so I'm going to do it anyway. But all right, young lady, I'm going to pick on you. Oh, yeah. You want to stand up for a minute? Are you bashful? What is that?
A $20 bill.
Who has this $20 bill? I do. It's mine.
Yeah.
Right. If I give it to you and hold it out and say, you can have this, you receive it, right? Whose was it before I gave it to you?
Yours.
Now whose is it?
Mine.
It's yours. But where did it come from?
You.
Came from me. See, that's what happens when, thank you. What's your name?
Elizabeth.
You can keep it, Elizabeth. Don't give it to Dad. Dad, gum. Woo! That $20 bill was mine, and I gave it to her, and now it belongs to her. But we didn't plan this. She gave it to her father. So what comes from God belongs to him and is returned back to him. But it's from him. In this Thanksgiving season, when you sit down to count your many blessings, I want you to realize that everything that you have and all that you possess and all that you hope to ever possess is from God. Stop looking in the mirror and being self-confident or self-centered, and recognize and realize that were it not for the grace of God, you would not be who you are, where you are, and what you have. Not just your salvation, but all things. All things. You know, if we only had our salvation to be thankful for, that would be enough, wouldn't it? But it's all things inclusive. Secondly, notice, from him, then it says, and through him. The word and means there's more. He's saying for from him. He's not through. If all things come from him, that would be enough. But all things are through him. And through. Through is a preposition of means. What helps us realize that things are through him. The Bible says, for by grace through faith are you saved, in that it is not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God. So we are saved by grace through faith in redemptive work of Christ on the cross. So our salvation is through Christ. It is not in of ourselves. He had been earlier talking about a bunch of people who believed that they were saved by their works. And he's saying, no, you can't be saved by your own work. You can only be saved by grace through faith. And so he's reminding us that our salvation is through Christ. We cannot in and of ourselves save ourselves. And so because our salvation is not through us, but through Christ, all the things that pertain to life itself come through him. Now, I know you may be thinking, I pull myself up by my own bootstraps, and what I have is by the sweat of my own brow. But the reality is, who gave you the ability and the strength and the know-how, the effort and the opportunity to have what you have? And who is it that worked through you in order to make that a reality? It's him. All things are through him. It points to God. I know we have a bunch of children in the room, and since we're doing some displays, this glove right here is lifeless, right? It has no life in and of itself. It can't do anything. But once I put my hand in it, it becomes useful. It has life because my hand is inside of the glove. That is a beautiful illustration of what the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying here. Without Christ, we're lifeless. We can do nothing. But now when in Christ he places his life by grace through faith in us, and now everything is done through him. So take the spotlight off of yourself and recognize and realize that not only are all things from him, but all things are through him. We strive and we serve and we work and we walk and we live because we do so through Christ. Notice what he says in the passage of Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. It is God who works in us and through us for his good pleasure, to will and to work. He gives us the will and the work. Without him, we would not have the willpower, nor would we be able to do the work that is done for his good pleasure, for his glory, and for his honor. And so here we see that we are to work, that we are to do all things from him, through him, and lastly, it says, to him. To him. This is a preposition of direction. In other words, not only are all things from him and through him, but all things are to him. All things are to him. It's a preposition of direction to him. What is the pronoun? Him, meaning referencing God. All things are from God, through him, and to God. They are all to him. Everything that we do is to him. It is to be offered and rendered and given to him. We had a beautiful example today of some families who were up here who dedicated their children unto the Lord. And we will in the second service, I'm sure, in our next time. Why do they do that? They're offering their children unto the Lord. I'm going to say something about your pastor that you probably didn't know. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready for that? I remember when I read, Matthew hadn't been born very long. He was our first of three children. And I remember when he was just a couple of months old. He wasn't very old. And I remember reading about Abraham offering Isaac to the Lord at Mount Moriah. And I don't know why, but I got this impression when he was just a few months old. He was asleep. It was my responsibility to put him to sleep every night. It was interesting when I put him down. As soon as I put him down, he would wake up. And we had this battle all the time. But this time he was asleep, and I was afraid to wake him up. But I thought, no, I'm not going to wake him up. I hope I don't. But I went in there, and I picked him up while he was asleep, and I held him up, and I offered him unto the Lord. Because I knew as a responsibility of a parent that there was a living trust that God entrusted to Patty and I in the responsibility of raising him as a child, that we are doing so unto him. He doesn't really belong to us. He belongs to the Lord. In our salvation, when we by grace through faith put our trust in him, we surrender our lives to him and we are no longer our own. We belong to the Lord and our lives are lived to him, not for ourselves. So every decision, every aspect of our lives, from the moment that we, by grace through faith, become born-again believers in Christ, we live to the Lord. We offer ourselves to him as living sacrifices, laying our lives at the altar, saying, Lord, I am yours. My wife is yours. My children are yours. My family, my home, my business, my present, my future, it's yours. Because everything is from him, through him, and all is to him for those of us who've been transformed by the power of the gospel. Now, we've seen the reason for all things. Let's look at now the response. The response is in the last little phrase of this beautiful doxology where he gives us basically four applications of how we can make this a reality. First of all, notice in the words to him. To him. Again, this is a preposition of direction. It means that our glory is to be given to him. Glory is given to him. To him be glory forever, he says. It's a preposition of direction, meaning that what we do is we offer and we extend to God the glory. We look to him exclusively, to God and God alone. We never take the spotlight off God. We always put the spotlight off. We never take the spotlight off God and put it on ourselves. We always keep our gaze, our look upon him, recognizing and realizing that everything is from him, through him, and to him. And because of that, it's to him that we must exclusively look to and give the glory for that which he is doing and that which he has done. So we're exclusively looking to him. Notice, secondly, we are to lift praises to God alone, reverently. Notice, to him be glory. Be glory. We don't ascribe glory to God. God already is glorious in and of himself. He glorifies himself. You and I simply lift up our eyes and we look to him, glorifying him, for he alone glorifies himself. We are simply affirming and agreeing about the glory of God. And so when we gather for worship, we don't gather to glorify God. He's already glorified. We gather to acknowledge and to affirm God's glory. And so in response to that, we must constantly affirm and agree and ascribe to God the glory, for it is him working through us and in us in which you and I find ourselves in the state of life in which we are. And then thirdly, notice, live with an eternal focus. Notice it says, to him be glory sometime. Is that what it says? It says forever. He's talking about eternity here. I mean, I thought about that this morning when I was looking over my notes. A God who never had beginning and never had an end. That's a mystery to me. How about you? Turn to the person to your left and right, so don't be proud. You don't know all the mysteries either. Okay? I mean, God is a God who is eternal. He never had a beginning, never having an end. I don't fully understand that. One of these days I will when I get to heaven. I'll say, hey, God, how are you eternal? And he'll tell me, and I'll know. But the glory that he is to receive is eternal. He has been glorifying himself for all eternity. And so it says, to him be glory forever. He has always been glorified. He is always being glorified because he glorifies himself. But what he's, I think, asking from us is to live with an eternal focus, and that we, once we by grace through faith become saved, that is the moment where we start our giving God glory, and we will then glorify him forever. So if you're having a hard time glorifying God in this life, you're going to have a miserable time in heaven, because that's all you're going to be doing in heaven. I mean, read what the angels are doing in Revelation 7, and I think 14, where they're constantly just singing his praises and worshiping the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit for who they are and for what they've done. And you and I, one of these days, will stand before him face to face, and we will glorify him in his presence. But until then, this life is to be a continuous, constant glorification of God and God alone. So when you, this holiday season, travel to wherever you're going and hang out with your friends and your family around the table, and you're sitting there enjoying the turkey or whatever your tradition is, glorify God. And make your glorification be that of a continual, constant, endless exercise of your faith and your gratitude toward him. And then lastly, we need to loudly affirm his praise. To loudly affirm his praise. Notice in the text, to him be glory forever, sentence, one word, amen. Amen is a word that stands on its own. It doesn't need anything else. It's simply a word that stands by itself. It says, so be it. It is true. It is indeed right. It is truly a fact. It is an amen. How many of you grew up in a church where there are a lot of amens? Come on, raise your hand. How many ameners do we have in here? Anybody? I haven't heard any amens so far. Maybe I haven't said anything worth saying amen about. I don't know. I remember when I pastored First Baptist Church Santa Fe, there was a guy there that was an amener, and people complained about him all the time. You know why? Because when he said in, amen, amen, always, loud. And they would say, I wish you could tone it down. But the idea of an amen here is a loud affirmation of praise and giving glory to God. It is amen. And so we must be loud about our recognition of who God is, not be sort of cowardly or shyly. We must confirm it. We must approve it. We must excitedly proclaim his glory. And we must amen him. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I'm going to conclude with this. I have a turtle here. It's a very small turtle. I don't know if you can see it. Yeah, not a good spot. I started with a turtle about my father, about the turtle on the fence post. When you see it, you know that it didn't get there by itself. It's a bit of a testimony in my life. I remember when I used to work for the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention. Southern Baptist of Texas Convention. And some of you knew, and that's when I was a member of our church. This is no longer our church because I'm not a member here anymore. I'm on staff at First Baptist Church, Justin. And I went to a retreat last spring. And when I was at that retreat last spring, I knew that it was time for me to resign from the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention. I'm 70 years old. Anybody know about security at 70? Come on. All right. Not too many 70-year-olds in here. And this is a pretty cool job. I mean, just traveling over six counties and having lunch with pastors and hobnobbing and doing the things, you know, the convention guy does. And but the Lord said, it's time for you to no longer do this. And I didn't know what to do, but I heard specifically from God, this is time for you to resign. And at that retreat, I went to my immediate supervisor and I resigned. I told Jeff, I said, hey, Jeff, I think I need to resign. I didn't know what was next. And when you're 69 years old and you haven't quite tapped into your annuity yet, I'm waiting until I'm 72, if you know what I mean. If you're a strategist, you know what that means. I want to maximize my retirement. I didn't know what was next. And I remember walking out of, on that campus where we were having that, I walked out of the front door, and there was a porch there where we were staying. And on that post, there was a turtle. Bizarre, isn't it? Now, go back to my first part of the study, the turtle. A reminder that that turtle didn't get there by itself. Somebody placed it there. Why was that turtle placed there at just that time, at just that moment in my life, for me to walk out that door and see that turtle placed on that fence post? What was God saying to me? Hey, buddy, you didn't get here on your own. You're not going anywhere on your own. I'm with you. Trust me. And so what I want to do in the conclusion of this is, if we know that everything is from him, through him, and to him, can we not trust him? Can we not trust him with our lives? Can we not lay ourselves at his feet and say, Lord, I know that everything is from you, is through you, and it's to you. My life is not my own. If you're here this morning, you've never, by grace through faith, put your trust in Christ as your Savior and Lord, it's from him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one only Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And is extending you an offer to, by grace through faith in the redemptive work of Christ on the cross, not by works that you will do, but what he has done. And when you recognize and realize what he has done, you lay your life on the altar and you say, Lord, take my life. Use me for your glory and for the advancement of your kingdom. Have you made that decision for the Lord? If you have, you know the power of the gospel. And you know by this that it's all from him, through him, and to him that we live our lives. And I'm wondering, do you see yourself as the turtle on the fence post, who by God's grace, his hand picked you up out of the miry clay of sin, placed you in the righteousness of Christ, and now from him, through him, and to him belong all things because of who he is and what he has done for you? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the joy and the privilege and the opportunity we've had today to be in this place of worship. And Lord, I pray that as we come to the close of this time together, that your spirit would move in our hearts and our lives. I know your word never returns void, and I hope that your spirit has spoken through your word today, not through my words, but through yours, and that your Holy Spirit would move among us in a mighty and a powerful way. Lord, bring conviction where conviction is needed. Bring grace where grace is needed. Bring a challenge where challenge is needed. Help us to be remindful that all things are from you, through you, and to you. And to you be all glory forever. Amen. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from The Trails Church. We hope you have been encouraged, equipped, and edified by time spent together in God's Word. And again, if you'd like to find out more about The Trails Church, visit our website, thetrails.org.